be there, you know, 2 hours.
Blog Talk Radio.
So starting out, I'm gonna let you, you know, I gotta get ready.
How's everybody doing today on this Tuesday? Once again, we are back, you know, as scheduled, which is a good thing, man. It's always good when you're back and it's as scheduled. You know, what a wonderful day we had here in San Diego, California. It was, sun was shining and everything was bright. And, you know, I'm always thankful for the opportunity to be here, in the land of the living, be able to change, to be able to grow, to be able to expand, to be able to realize dreams and realize accomplishments, you know? And the timing will be right when it's right. Don't worry about the hows or the when. We're going to talk about that later on. But that being said, welcome, everybody, to the Simi Braxton Show, and I'm your host, Simi Braxton, and I'm not by myself. Oh, no. I got my brother from another, Kevin Crutcher, hanging with me in a real corporate way. I got my brother, Adrian Walker, is with us tonight. He's on board with us, and we're glad to have him tonight. And last but not least, she's always there in the cut with me, and that's Gina the Butterfly. The apple of my eye, laying in the cut, always watching my back, always watching my back. You know, it's good when you got somebody that can watch your back. And sometimes it doesn't, you know, feel too good, but it's always good to have somebody to watch your back. And that doesn't mean that, you know, you get your way all the time and they, you know, they always, you know, picking up after you, so to speak. But it's, what it does is, you know, you have somebody that makes you accountable. You know, I want people around me that, you know, for accountability purpose. Accountability is everything. You know, anytime you see somebody and they got a bunch of yes men around them, they're not, well, for one thing, probably highly insecure because, you know, everybody got to say yes to them. And they, I mean, you know, and I don't care how, quote unquote, successful they may seem to be. They are spiritually deprived. They have a spiritual, they're deficient in their spirituality, their spirit side of their life, you know, because their character also. Because you need somebody around you that's going to say, hey, you know what, don't, you know, you might not want to do that. It's nothing to have, it's nothing like having wise counsel around you, you know, and I mean wise counsel. You know the difference between those that are wise with their counsel and those that are unwise with their counsel. You know, you have to know the difference. That's when, your intuition comes into play. We're going to talk about that later on in the show, because I want to flip the script just a little bit to tweak it, to bring it to a place where we can have decent conversations about everything, you know, a little bit of everything. And, you know, with that soul stroke, that USB soul stroke that I talk about all the time, which is, you know, words of encouragement that might spark an individual or enhance an individual's life and allow them to, you know, take it with them and ride with it. It might be something that takes them to the stratosphere in their life. Who knows? But that's what our objective is. Our objective is to learn and grow together, you know, because that's what it's about. You know, nobody has arrived. We are constantly evolving and constantly expanding it. And it's always something new, something interesting that can be created. We talked last week about being true to yourself concept, your I am. And so we're going to touch on that a little bit later on in the show. But as you know, at the beginning of the show, we always have Kevin Crutcher. He has a rant. And, he says what he wants to say and how he wants to say, and he brings it that way. It may not be good to you. It may be good to you. But it's always good for you because Kevin comes from his heart. And he does it in a very unique manner. So without further ado, Kevin Crutcher, take it away, my brother.
All right. Everybody, how everybody doing? Hope everybody's in good spirits. Hope everybody is out there obtaining their dreams. You know, let me say this. I can't even throw a complaint out there. Little information. I haven't had my rant going for a little bit. I've been going through some personal issues with my family. My mom has dementia, so my sister and I have been, and my wife, I can't leave her out. She's just the best that you could have. We've been going through it with my mom, trying to be there for her. And, you know, you got to keep an eye on them once this stage sets in. And, you know, it led me to thinking, wow, who's going to be there for me? Would my child slow her life down long enough to be there for me at my old age? Mm-hmm. See, they got a saying out there, once an adult and twice a baby. See, if you fuck around and live too long and get that shit, you'll be back in diapers. Not only will you be back in diapers, you might be having to be fed by somebody. You have to be watched. People make sure you don't hurt yourself or hurt anyone else or get out there and get lost. You know, if you were doing it in a hospital and you're working with people that you don't really know and you don't have a lifetime of experience with them, I could see how that job, you know, you could get by and it wouldn't hurt and you would adjust. But when you watch your parents go through it, it does something different. And all I could say is, they'll never walk away from your parents when they get to that age where they're going to need that help. Is your heart and your love big enough? Because you're going to shut down what you got to do. You're going to do your priorities, and then you're going to take care of your number one. My mother's number one, wholeheartedly. There's nothing, and I mean nothing, that I won't do for her and to help her. And I just love my wife to death for being there. You know, but we have to take into consideration, man, what's going to happen when we hit them 70s. And if we make it through them 70s and hit them 80s, we're going to need some help. You're going to need somebody. Because in America, when you get to be an elder, these people attack you like vultures. Everybody's trying to sell you shit. Everybody's trying to get you to spend your money with them. They call all hours of the day. I'd say, man, America is the most fucked up this place that it is to our elders because they don't protect them like they should. We got people that just prey on them. And if you're the type of individual that could take from a senior, man, you're pretty low down. But it's something to think about. Our day is coming if we keep living to when that second time as a baby appear in your life, and you'll have to handle that. Will there be somebody there that knows you, your family? Because other people will do you wrong as a motherfucker. You know, this is just food for thought. So, all I can say is it's an experience, and it's an experience that a lot of us are going to go through, and then a lot of us have put our parents in a senior citizen home, assisted living home, and forget about them. Damn.
Yeah.
So my rant is, man, be there for your parents all the way to the end. Don't leave them by themselves. Don't do that. Definitely don't leave them by themselves so they could go through being paranoid and all kind of shit in their own home, but they paranoid as hell. You know, but think about it. Think about it. Once an adult, twice a baby. I'm going to throw it back to you, Simi. All right, now.
Yeah, and there you have it. I like that. I'm going to piggyback just a little bit on that, Kevin. You're absolutely right. Yeah. They. You know, we do have to take care of our elders, and that's a difficult spot that you're in. But you know, it's the love that you have for your mother that allows you to, you know, to care for her the way you do. I mean, it's a tough ride. I've been in that position before, and Alzheimer's is a really cruel disease. It's really hard to watch a loved one go through that. And so, you know, stay strong, be strong. We send love and light your way, man, that you can hold out, man, and whatever strength and encouragements that you need. I hope that, you know, you are fortified with that, man, because
well, I'm a soldier, you know. When it comes to how big my heart is and my love, if you under my wing and I love you, shit, there's nothing on the planet I won't
do. Well,
and enough money, I don't get whatever it takes, I do it.
Yeah.
Material shit,
when you have a heart
don't
to do
come
that.
Close.
Yeah. It's something when you have the heart to do that, the ability, because everybody ain't able, okay? They're just not. Some people think that, you know, you should be able to, you know, do that for a loved one, but, you know, everybody's not built that way from the inside. You know, it's just, they can do other things, but, you know, working in close quarters and getting down in the trenches, they're just not able. They're not equipped. And, I mean, I don't know why. Maybe they could be, because, you know, you do what you have to do. But
yeah,
because
you could be changing
it.
Diapers. You could be doing all kinds of stuff. It's just nothing I wouldn't do. I wouldn't care if I had to wipe my mom's butt, change
right,
her
right.
diapers. I would
yeah.
do that, all of it,
yeah.
every
Absolutely.
Bit of it.
Absolutely.
You know?
No
and,
problem.
And my thing is, I hope there's somebody there for me if I get to that. I
yeah.
hope I don't. But the women and on my mother's side of the family, most of the women get that dementia
yeah.
or and Alzheimer's. And I don't know what it is in my family that makes
mm-hmm.
that happen. But
yeah,
like I say, shit, the majority of the women on my mom's side of the family, that's what
mm-hmm.
that's what took them out. You know, they were just a body with no brain.
Right.
The brain power just ain't working. So you got to be real, real compassionate.
Yeah, you do. And because
be able to
you know,
understand
sometimes
that.
Yeah. Because sometimes they know you and sometimes they don't, and then sometimes they're combative.
Oh
and
yeah.
That can be tough, you know. That can be tough, you know, because they come yeah. And so
I had to take my mother's phone. She was had called somebody that she didn't have a clue, thinking that there's somebody else that was trying to give out her social security number. So I couldn't get the phone from her, and she did something, but I ended up snatching the phone, and boy, she got mad and took off on me.
Wow.
Ripped my shirt off, started swinging left and right. And I said, Mom, look at you. Really? Really? You know I just had surgery. And this is what you're going to do?
Right.
So you have to be super duper understanding.
Right.
And
right.
I want
and to
thank you for that.
No, you got to understand. Right. You got to understand. Let your compassion go full force.
Oh yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's where it begins with the compassion. Because you know that your loved one, your mom, you know, that individual is not, you know, capable of making, you know, the right choices.
Decisions,
but
yeah, you know. Something that she would never do in her right mind.
Right.
But I had to accept that.
Yeah, you got a person, a lady that, you know, would never say a curse word, and then when she gets the Alzheimer's, she's cursing everybody out real good, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody. But she never used profanity, you know, in her life, you know, until she got sick with Alzheimer's. I remember that, you know. It was,
now
like,
she's ready to swing, left
right.
and right.
right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But like I say, you have to really... really, really be understanding and exercise compassion,
uh-huh.
you know, and just be like, wow, I love you
yeah.
so much. There's nothing you can do wrong right now.
Yeah. If you're in the host and you want to join the conversation, press the number one and I'll see your number and it'll pop up to the top so I can open up your mic so that you can participate in the conversation we're having. I want, you know, Adrian Walker is, you know, a young man that I met a few years ago. And he's been on the show before with us. And he was living here in San Diego. And he moved out to Minnesota, to you know, his hometown. And so, you know, be acquainted with him. He's a very talented young man. And you know, he just wants to talk. He's been through a lot. He's got a story to tell. I think a story big enough to tell to change the world, you know, what he's been through at such an early age. And I told him, I said, you know, going through what you've been through, it wasn't for just on an accident and it wasn't for no reason at all. You know, it's really something that, it's powerful. It's a powerful thing because you're here. You're here to tell it, and you're here to, you know, be a beacon of light for, you know, a lot of people. And so, you know, I'm happy you joined us tonight, man, and you know, get on the grind, man. We can walk this walk with me, because I'm, you know, we've been talking for the past couple of days, you know, about couple of weeks about the divine bridge of incidents, crossing over, what's, you know, things that happen in the life that, you know, they happen for whatever reasons, but it, sometimes they seem like you're not able to get to where you're going. But you don't look at them as obstacles. You look at them as bridges, because those incidents are, you know, that happen are, you know, for your learning and understanding and fortitude. Yes. And so we, Adrian, you wrote a book, right?
Yeah, I did. I did. I wrote a couple, actually.
Mm-hmm. And
I wrote a book.
You know, I had him on the show because his daughter. Well, you know, tell him a little bit about, you know, what happened, you know, with your daughter. Just a little bit. You know, we're gonna get into it, I think, next week. You know, but you know, just a little bit, because we were talking about sex trafficking,
how
rampant it was. So go ahead, brother.
Well, almost 2 years ago, May 22nd, they found my daughter laying in a ditch, dead, in various stages of decomposition. I remember getting the call June 3rd, celebrating a birthday, and it was like a scene out of a movie, a horror flick or something. You get that call. At the moment, you're finishing up singing happy birthday, and the worst news possible hits you. That's what happened to me that day almost 2 years ago. She was involved with sex trafficking, forced into that lifestyle. And we're actually still trying to find her killers. The detectives are working diligently with that and everything, and it's a struggle. Day-to-day, having to deal with that, not have proper closure, relive the moments of even me, myself, seeing her decomposed body, and just to know that my daughter was pregnant at the time.
How old was she?
16.
Wow.
She would have been 18 this past April, so, you know, even that's a little rough. Not a little, a lot. Seeing all these kids going through prom and all that other stuff, and knowing my baby girl, you know, isn't here to even have a chance to go through that.
You know, we gonna come back, man. You know,
right.
Next week and really get into that, man, because he has a very, very outstanding story, a phenomenal story, man, what he's overcome, what he's been through, and we want to save that for next week. Very, very touching story. But, and you guys can hop in whenever you, you know, because I want us to ride together on this. You dig? I mean, like, it's for me, it's for us, you know. To this is the season of really just manifestations for me, you know, period. With the doubt deficient faith and with the inspired actions, that's what happens. And there are certain things that happen in your life, you know, that, you know, you have to do, things that you need to do in order to obtain what you really desire. Visualization is one, because when visualizing, you make sure you feel your desire being granted here. Now, let your emotions run through you.
Wow.
Feel exactly how
Jimmy.
You would feel once you get what you have been asking for. See, because once your subconscious mind has determined or accepted that something is real, it will manifest. And you don't worry about the when. Or how? Because the wind is an illusion, since all exists in the eternal now. The how is part of the journey toward realizing your vision to completion. So this, the more you visualize, have faith, and assume it's done, the quicker it manifests. And we're talking about visualization, you know, daydreaming. When the last time you were daydreaming about something that you really wanted? We used to do it a lot when we were children. We daydreamed all the time. You know, and it seemed like the older we got, you know, we got out of the habit of daydreaming, you know, visualizing, you know. I mean, you know, I came back to it. I've always been a pretty much of a daydreamer, though. I can't say that I, you know. But some people, they get out of that mode of daydreaming. And, you know, how you be daydreaming, looking off and thinking about something, and somebody, you know, they snap you out of it. I was always the guy that was getting snapped out of that daydream. But you have to visualize it. You have to see it, right? And you don't have to say nothing about it. Just see it. And then believe it, that you can have it. Because what you do is you think about it, smell the car, smell the new car, smell the leather, you know, feel the wheel as you're sitting in the seat. Those things, you know, visualization is a very important part. That's why people have vision boards. They have vision boards because they, you know, once you see it, you write down the vision, you make it plain. But what we get caught up into a lot of times is the fear of when is it going to happen and how. We get caught up in the logistics every time. Don't. It's just accept that you're going to have it. Know that you have that power, that you can have what you want, what you desire. If you want it, because you vibrate at a certain frequency. And once you as an individual, once your desire reaches the frequency of what you want, what you know, what you really want, and they match up, there's the manifestation right there. How many times, the power of the mind is power in the mind. I always say this. How many times have you thought about somebody or was just talking about them and they called? That's not just a coincidence or something, or coincidences are supposed to happen. It is. But I'm saying that's just not happenstance, for the use of a better word. It's a connection there. It's a vibration that goes forth that brings that person into your existence, into your circle, into your world. And so there's a lot of things that we can do, you know. A lot of people, you don't have to be, you know, the next thing is meditation, okay? You don't have to be a church goer or a religious person to meditate. You can meditate while you cook. There are things that, you know, that you do every day. You know, women knit, and they get into a meditative state, you know? And what it does is it helps identify the blocks, you know, the abundance blocks, the things that, you know, the doubts that come in, you know, because you're going to get those thoughts all the time. But it's a practice that you have, you know, you gotta be consistent, and you practice. We get into consistency in a minute, but it is a habit that you have to, you know, create that will allow you to, you know, really handle what comes at you. They call them abundance blocks. All meditation is beneficial. It's a beneficial tool to overcome those blocks. So you got to stay present. And you got to, you know, just embrace just being right where you are. You know, don't try to have any thoughts by focusing. You know, just focus on your breathing. If thoughts occur, just observe them and you know, without reacting. Because meditation is the way we can know our essence behind our divine selves. We get to, you know, really get into who we are truly at the level of our being, our spiritual being, because we do have that. But it's on the inside. It's not without, it's within. Microhabits. Microhabits are the small habits that, you know, you incorporate and exhibit on your daily routine to help you maintain your optimum state of flow. You know, the little things that you do to get you prepared for the day. But you got to prioritize those small habits before committing to larger habits. In other words, if you want to start working out, don't start off, going to a gym, work out at the house, stretch at the house, do push-ups at the house, before you, get ready to do, the gym and push off big weight, because you have to, create habits, and it's a discipline that goes along with having a habit, because there's a consistency that you have to have. You got to be consistent by your inspired action and alignment toward your vision. You got to make sure you are consistent with dwelling without, you got to be consistent without dwelling on whether or not your manifestation will come. In other words, you got to just keep on pushing, keep on, making the phone calls, if somebody is, if you're looking for a job, don't get discouraged. Keep, looking, making the phone calls, filling out applications or, that kind of stuff. Be consistent, because the universe will deliver what you want when the time is right. Now, personally, I failed many times at some things before I finally would succeed. But, in reality, I wouldn't consider it as failing. I believe I was learning. No matter how many times I failed, I knew what I wanted. And I knew that it was already mine. I had that attitude. See, a lot of things, a lot of this we've already done, but we've forgotten. We've forgotten and we haven't, we just stopped, having that gusto, that inspiration that we had before. It's not hard to bring it back. Or if you get stuck, it's not hard to come out of it. But you got to be consistent. You got to believe, you got to understand, like I was talking about the bridge of incidents experience. When you experience these things, it's through the spirit of harmony. Because you can't always win, but you can always believe. You can believe that creation is complete. You can believe that what you're asking for is already yours. You can believe that you are simply waiting for your desire to manifest, and just carry that along. Just have that, what I want is going to happen for me, and just keep your mind on that. Have that type of attitude, that doubt deficient faith, and stay true to yourself. You can't do none of this without being 100, keeping it 100. We always talk about keeping it 100. Keeping it 100 and staying true to yourself. And remember last week I was talking about the I ams. That's a concept, a self-concept of yourself. That's your self-concept. When somebody, I am a courageous, loving, joyful, peaceful, expansive, creative individual. And so you, anybody can create that mantra for themselves. Whatever mantra, I am a powerful, strong, compassionate woman. Whatever it is that you can create for yourself in that I am. And the reason it's important is because you're declaring to your subconscious mind that you're not just a body and you're not just your name. You're not your name. You're not your name. You're not your body. You're not your accomplishments. Who you are at your essence, at the essence of who you are, is your I am, your self-concept. So when you stay true to yourself, you never doubt yourself. If you doubt yourself, it's going to cause untrustworthiness between you and your higher self. And the truer you are to yourself, the more you're going to trust yourself. And the more you're going to build a strong bond with your inner voice. Yes, you have an inner voice. I don't know why people don't think that they have that, You got an inner voice. We all got an inner voice. It's an intuition, but we just don't trust it. How many times have you found out that, if I had listened to my, first thought, and it's a still small voice that's audible. You can hear it. It's a feeling. You can feel it that you have. Now you got to trust it. You got to trust that voice more. Once you bond with that voice, the more your intuition will guide you. and further, you know, you'll further realize your visions. And the more you will naturally claim what you say your I am to. That's from the book 369. You know, I'm taking you guys on with me, you know, for the ride, because I think that once we get to the point where we understand who we are and how powerful and resourceful we are, there's nothing that we cannot accomplish in this life. And you're not too old. You're not too young. You're not too skinny. You're not too fat. You're not too ugly. You're not pretty enough. You know, whatever. Those are, that's an illusion. That's an illusion. You can be exactly what you want to be if you make up your mind. You can do exactly what you want to do if you make up your mind. There are things that you can do that you know, because one thing about it, the universe is constantly working to on providing you with everything you need in order to be the person you were meant to be. And sometimes it's not obvious to see the signs that the universe throws at you. Some signs can be as minor as randomly doing a little task in the morning around the house. And when you complete that task, it can lead to a million different things. It's little clues that come up, you know, around. The universe, you know, will not make these signs easy, because you might go through 10 horrible jobs and get fired to get the dream job that you've always wanted. You might need to file for bankruptcy to get the financial abundance you've always wanted. You might have to go through several breakups to find the love of your life. But peep this. If you could erase your past mistakes, you would also erase the wisdom from your present. So it's best to remember the lessons learned instead of dwelling on the disappointments. And this is how we become who we were meant to be. We, you know, by learning these lessons, by going through some shit. Because if you go through, if you got to be able to go through it and know that it's okay to go through something. This is a bumpy ride at times. But know that you're safe. Know that you're protected. Know that you have this, you're equipped to deal with whatever comes into your life, and that you will overcome whatever obstacle there is to obtain the things that you still desire, because all you have to do is keep your eye on the prize and the belief in your heart and the satisfaction of knowing, with that inner voice of knowing, that you got it. And it's not that easy. Because it takes practice, you know. Since we are the universe, because we are the universe expressing itself from only one unique perspective, which is in this avatar, this body, this three-dimensional body, most signs come from within. Most signs, that we get, they come from within. So what do you look for when the universe is trying to send you signals? I talk about this all the time. You got a personal guidance system. And that personal guidance system, it's a part of your emotions. And pay attention to your emotions, you know, happiness. If you start paying more attention when you're experiencing genuine happiness and joy, this indicates that you're on the right track. Because happiness is the ideal state of mind, whether it's a result of your current home, your job, your relationship, or merely your daily life. Contrarily, if you have been experiencing the feeling of unhappiness, regardless of what it is you're feeling unhappy about, that could be a sign that something needs to change. You know, the universe might be sending you cues to indicate that this is not the path that you should be taking. Examples, you know, would be, you know, going to a job. Some people, you know, love going to their job, while others despise it. You know, if you experience, joy and excitement going to your job, this means you're on the right track, fulfilling your purpose. But on the other hand, if you wake up each morning dreading going to work, you got to ask yourself, am I really supposed to be here? Is this job, you know, beneficial to me in the long run? Why am I here? You know, well, you know, it pays the bills. But the whole thing that we want, what we desire, is to do what we love. And, you know, when you do what you love, that's what it's really all about, because success is not defined by money or materialistic items. You know, our notion of success is defined by progressively realizing a vision of completion. Success is realizing you love doing what you do. And that's a very important thing. Even when you're picking, you know, I talk to my daughter all the time. When you love something, do what you love and love what you do. You know, I never did a job that I didn't like. And if I stopped liking the job, I wouldn't work it anymore. I would move on to something else, because I always like to enjoy what I do for money. And I really enjoy it. I worked at the post office. I loved it. I worked at as a ground maintenance worker. I loved it. I did security. I loved it. I loved it. And you know, when it was time for me to move on, when, you know, that passion wasn't there, at, you know, anymore. And it was more or less that you know that it's time to move on. And that's what it was for me. It was time for me to move on, and that's what I did. But it's all about really, you know, loving what you do, doing what you love, paying attention to your personal guidance system. Your emotions are important. If it don't feel right, 99.9% of the time, it ain't. If it just don't feel right. But we've gotten out of the habit of going with our feelings like that. And one of the ways that you can learn to trust yourself and trust those feelings and be able to adhere to what's being said to you on that on that spiritual level is to meditate. Meditation, spending time alone, getting in tune with yourself, getting in touch with yourself, relaxing your mind and your body, and just, you know, going somewhere else, focusing on your breathing. You know, it doesn't take much. And you'll find that when you do these things, after you do it for about 5, 10 minutes, you can tell the difference in your body. You can tell the difference in your body overall. The chakras are opening up, and, you know, there's a certain amount of healing that takes place, because a lot of us are in pain. A lot of people are in pain. They need healing. But the personal guidance system and happiness and how you feel, that's another way. That's another way that you can see the signs and wonders that come up that you can, you know, adhere to and really translate it, or you know, you can, because the signs come to you, so you're the only one that can. I'm looking for that word, not translate, but I can't think of it. I'm trying to think of it, but you know. You communicate, you translate it into what you can understand about what the clues came, you know, what kind of clues come up. Reoccurring thoughts is another thing. If you're constantly thinking about the same thing or something that's stuck in your head, this could mean that the universe is trying to send you a sign. Now, this could be a positive or a negative. It could be a memory you have, which could even make it, you know, distraught. But remember, nothing can change the past, because the past is an illusion, since everything exists now. And it is. This is what we got to really, really catch on. If you guys don't get nothing else, man, you understand that everything is right now. What matters now is this moment. And live in the moment, the eternal now. Live in the eternal now and see things at the end of infinity. In other words, see things in their completion. See things that you desire already done. No, you haven't gotten there, but you know what, you know, but you, you know, your desires, you know, are all complete. You know what you desire, what you want. You know, your vibration is so high with your expectations. And the word I was looking for was translate. You'll be able to translate these cues or these clues that come up in your life. You can translate it. So you have to pay attention to little things like that. Because what happens is once you vibrate at a certain level, what's going to happen is you will end up attracting those things that you desire. So you have to, you know, you're doing something. It's not like you're not doing anything, but you're resting in the satisfaction of knowing that your desire will be met. But you're not worried about when or how. You're already understanding that it's going to be there for you. And so, and any time a thought comes up in your mind that would try to dissuade you from your belief, don't pay attention to it. Kick it out. I said, heck no, no, no. It's here. And I watched some things work out completely like crazy with my daughter, you know. And she got, you know, she was, you know, in need of a job and, you know, back up, you know, up against the wall, you know, whatever. And you know what? Look, she got 5 interviews. Boom. Manifestation. And one looked like they already wanted to hire her right on the spot. She had to think about it because she got some other options, you know. And where you're at right now, it's okay to be where you're at because that might be the very place that you need to be in order to get what you ultimately desire. Stay in the gap. You know, stay in the gap. Stay, you know, go with the flow. Stay in the flow of the rhythm of life. How do you do that when things are coming at you? Well, what you do is, and it's practical. It's really not all that deep. It's really practical. Allow yourself to stay calm, be calm. Allow yourself to be, do, and have everything that you desire to be, do, and have. And do the same for others. When you're driving, I talk about this all the time. Where's your mind at? What type of attitude do you have? What type of, what is that about with you? You know, are you being a courteous driver or are you in a hurry because everybody else is frantic? Because that's what happened, you know, they were frantic on the road today, but I didn't get caught up in it. It's little things like that. Those little things that you do like that helps develop your inner man, your inner being, but it takes practice. And it's a very powerful way of living. But you got to practice it. You got to train your body with your mind to do what your mind wants your body to do. And when you do that, you develop a habit. Habits. We got habits that we have. We've developed them, you know, over the years. And sometimes it's difficult to break those habits because some of those habits don't do us any good. But we have to find a way to flip the script, change the game, and develop other habits that will override the habits that affect us in negative ways. You know, don't react. Don't react. Respond. You know, it's not necessary for you to always win or be right. Sometimes it's just best to be happy. I learned that it's best to be, you know, sometimes, you know, I don't need to be right. I just want to be happy. But some things aren't worth arguing about. And you should be vibrating at such a high level of, you know, because, when you get to a place where you understand about frequency and vibration and you understand that you need to shine. You know, it's like you have a light that's inside that when you come in the presence of others, you're shining. Don't be afraid of that. You know, just shine. Because some people, there are people that need to see you shining, you know. And so get out more, you know. I mean, that doesn't mean you have to, you know, go out and try to find a bunch of friends or anything, but get out more, you know, do things that can, you know, bring you in some contact with people. And you know, be a light, shine, speak to people, say hello, you know, be open, be kind, you know, be respectful, be everything that you need to be that shines, that can, you know, because what happens, it draws your desires when you are light, when you vibrate at a high frequency, when you don't let things bother you or get to you. You you know, you kick out all negativity and all negative, you know, when thoughts come to your mind that would, you know, have you vibrate at a lower frequency, you don't allow that to take place in your world. Because you know how it feels. It feels better to vibrate at a high frequency. It eradicates the lower frequency of negativity, you know. And pretty soon you get to where you don't even want to be around that negativity that can come up, because you can draw other people, because it's such a powerful way of being. Negativity can show up, but it can't stay. You got to understand that. It can still show, negativity can show up in your world. But as long as you vibrate at a high frequency and as long as you keep that light shining, it will have to go. It can't stay. And so once you develop these habits of meditating, you know, take some yoga, you know, read books that talk about, you know, inner peace and inner strength and, you know, things that, you know, strengthen the inner man, the inner being, you know, that will equip you in such a, it'll fortify you. You'll be fortified. It makes you stronger as a human being. And one of the most powerful things we can be is a human being. It's not because it's humane. And it's a human being. It's a way of being. It's not like human doing. You know, it's a human being. It's a way of being. Are you being love? Are you being kind? Are you being respectful? You know, it's a way of being. What is your way of being when it comes to dealing with people? You know, are you standoffish when you come around people? You know what's on your mind when someone does something or says something to maybe hit a nerve? How do you react to that? You know, do you take it and absorb it and get angry about it and want to curse them out? Or do you, you know, look at it as something that was said because of your knowledge and your understanding of your self-concept? Because you know who you are. Because then when you know who you are, can't nobody else define who you are, because it won't bother you, because they'll be missing you by a mile long. You know, it's like calling you a green frog. That's not going to bother you. You know, and that's why your self-concept and having your I am is so important. Things that you do, you know, and you say, and write them down, write it out. There's so many things that, you know, you can do because you put yourself to the challenge. You put yourself, you know, to the test. You're building yourself up spiritually. You're building yourself spiritually and mentally. Building yourself up, because you're creating a discipline that's going to make you a better person, a better human being. But it takes work. And sometimes that work means changing your habits, like I said. Maybe 8 o'clock is not early enough for you to get up. Maybe you need to get up at 6. And you'll have more time to do some things like meditate. Find some time to, you know, just have some, you know, thoughts with yourself. Pray, you know. Spend some time alone. Get in touch with your higher self, you know, at 6 o'clock. Or exercise. Do some yoga. Go to the gym if your gym is open. Stretch. Spend some time with yourself. Get to know who you are. A lot of times, this is one of the biggest problems that we have, is that we don't know who we are because we don't understand our purpose. Because we go outside of our true desires. So our desire, you got to understand that your desires are directly attached to your purpose, your true desires. It's not going to be outside of who you are. All you got to do is want it, and it's going to match up with your purpose. And it's going to, all the gifts and talents and abilities that you have, they're going to be just right for that. But you got to know who you are. And a lot of people are walking around not even knowing who they are. They think they're just here to live and die like a sputter. I mean, you know, make kids, you know, because I think that, you know, yeah, well, okay, everybody doesn't have, a huge, everybody has different goals or whatever, right? I hear that. But, you know, you have a purpose, and and everybody has a purpose, and everybody can be fruitful with their gift that they've been sent, that they've come here on this planet with. You can be fruitful. I mean, and be dynamic with it. Maybe you work well with kids, and you sow seed into recreation centers, and you know, you watch these kids grow up, and you had a hand in that. There's this sprinter. I mean, she's a middle distance runner. A Thing Ma is her name. And she won 2 gold medals, at the age of 19. She ran the 800, she ran the 600, and she runs the 4x4 relay. And she is a fantastic runner. She is really an outstanding, gifted athlete at the young age of 19. And I was watching it, and, you know, they had, you know, I was watching it on YouTube, and they had, you know, people that had coached her and, you know, was talking about who she was as she was growing up as a child. And, you know, the emotions that they had, pride that they had, you know, of her for her accomplishing the things that she's accomplishing at such an early age. She is a student. She got a full ride at Texas A&M. In high school, she ran with a track club. She didn't run at her high school. And she is sponsored by Nike. She, so Nike provides all of her gear and, you know, all things of that nature. And she's just really doing well. And she has a very humble and a heart. And you can just tell by the way her way of being, how she is with people and how she interacts with people, that she's sincere, and she's got a warm heart. Her intentions are pure. You could tell that just by listening to her and watching her react, and what people say about her that had a hand in her growing into the young woman that she is now. And so those people, they did a great thing that surrounded her, that nurtured that gift, that, helped her, helped guide her in different ways, that, you know, they get a chance to see the fruits of their labor, if you will, with this one young lady that has really, I mean, the sky is the limit, and her name is Athing Mu, Athing, A-T-H-I-N-G-M-U, and her family is from Sudan. But she was raised in Trenton, New Jersey. So I think she was born in Trenton, New Jersey. But the family is, and she's got this really pretty dark hue skin. I mean, she has this really pretty skin, man. She's really dark, and she has these white teeth. And she's like 5'10", 140 pounds. So she's a tall thing. And just to see her run, man, and I never heard of her. I was over to my mother's house. I never heard of her. And she said She said, "You ever seen that girl? She's tall and she's not." I didn't know what she was talking about, and we ran up across on YouTube because we were watching YouTube, and I ran across Athema, and I never did hear about her. But I mean, you know, there are people that have the talent and the gift with children and young adults that they can communicate real well with, you know, children and young adults. And, you know, they have this one, this really great communication and connection with kids. You know, everybody's not that, you know, that good with kids. They don't communicate on a certain level with, you know, kids. But there are certain people that are really, really good with kids, and they know how to, you know, speak to them on their level and, you know, really communicate well with them. And that's a gift. And so, and if it's something that you enjoy, then you find a way to get around the youth and share, you know, your knowledge and your know-how so that, you know, you can be productive. And what you receive from that, the gratitude that you receive, is just incredible when you're able to watch, you know, and nurture and watch, you know, young adults and kids grow. So there are many things that you can do that can impact the world in a micro cosmic way, you know, cosmic way. You know, it may not be the macro, but it, you know, in the micro, and it, what it does is you help her, she helps somebody else, because what happens is, you know, it's just only type of you know, pouring into one's life. It increases. It only increases and multiplies and moving forward. That's that type of energy that I say that, you know, it duplicates itself and it, all the while moving forward and expanding at the same time. And so that's what you want. And what happens is once you start really getting in the habit of putting yourself into a certain frame of mind and being conscientious of your thoughts and actions, because you choose to vibrate at a high level. You choose to, you know, not be a person that of negativity, but of a positive vibrations. And you're doing the work to, you know, to do that. What happens is you will attract more people like you. There'll be, you know, because during the expansion process, and this is a trip because you're expanding, and then as you expand, it may seem like people, you know, the old, you know, some people in your life might fall off, because that's because you're expanding, and they're not. And I'm not talking about monetarily. I'm talking about spiritually, you know, internally. You're expanding, you know. You know you are. You know that, you know, you can feel it. You can feel the power that you have. You can, you know, things are divinely taking shape in your life and coinciding with everything that you want. And you wake up and you're happy in the morning. You're excited about, you know, what today is going to bring to you, you know, even though some things might happen during the course of the day, but overall, it always ends up turning out the way you need it to turn out because you said so, because that's your expectation. And so, you know, when you have that type of fortification, that fortified attitude, you expand, people fall off, but wait. They're going to be people that are going to come around. They're going to be people that are going to come around that are going to fit exactly what you want to happen. They're going to be the perfect fit. They're going to know, you have a conversation with them about the vision. They're down with it. They're ready to do the work. They're ready to make things happen. You know, you don't have to do a whole lot of explaining to them about it. They know exactly, because it's not just a coincidence, but it is. Because that's what you're bringing into your life. And don't feel bad about the people that fall off. because just maybe their purpose is not attached to your purpose like that, to your vision. Because you want to make sure that everybody that is attached to your vision has the same vision to a degree. I mean, you know, if they get under the umbrella, they must see something that's similar to, you know, to what they're striving for. And what happens is iron sharpens iron. And have an open mind about things, you know? And that's what happens. It flows. It's not hard. It's not difficult, you know? It's not a lot of, it's no, you know, no arguing. It's working out. It's working together. It's coming up with ideas, creating. We're alchemists. You know, we create. And so the work is in the discipline of us keeping the faith, keep on believing. You have, you know, and there'll be times where it won't be a whole lot of people around you anyway, because that's good sometimes. Because it must be good for you when there's not a lot of people around you, because you may need to be alone like that. I spend a lot of time by myself, but it's not, I don't feel lonely. But there are things that come to me. I receive, you know, revelation, vision of things, ideas, and things that, you know, that become clear to me that wasn't clear to me 6-7 months ago. I'm getting answers that I wanted, you know, months ago, now, today, over these past couple of months, few months. And so all things do work together for the good of those, for the eternal good. We live in this avatar that we call a body, and we need it. You know, it's a tool. It's our tools to navigate through this, you know, this three-dimensional world, this planet, Earth. But I bet you that once people really get the understanding of, or the awakening, you know, because a lot of times we make it hard, and it's so practical. It's so practical. We're going to go back to the, you know, because we have to, we're going to have to go back to what we did hundreds of years ago. You know, we have to depend on our intuition. We have to trust ourselves. And then when people come into our lives, we got to trust them and know that we can trust them. And I guarantee you, if you stay on the right path, because it's not going to be easy. I didn't say it was going to be easy, you know, but it does become, it becomes exciting. Because it's not hard. The hard part is developing the discipline and training your body to do what your mind, you know, wants it to do, and you know, not putting off things, you know, making the phone call now, you know, those type of things, instead of, you know, putting it off for later on, or instead of making the phone call, you know, because that phone call, that card that you got last month might be the very thing that you need, you know, right now or 3 months ago. Something might be, you know, you might be going through your letters and stuff, you know, and you find a card, and that might be, you know, something that you need for your vision. You know, if a person doesn't have a vision, you know, I don't know why they wouldn't have a vision. Everybody should have a vision. Everybody should visualize their life into what they want it to be. Dream about it. Exactly. Daydream about it. And then want it. Desire it. What's wrong with it? You don't have to tell nobody. This is between you and yourself, your higher self. You can just create your I am. Create your concept. I am a courageous, loving, joyful, peaceful, expansive human being. And I got to get that down because I don't want to stumble over it either. Because I got to get it down to where I know I believe that. I mixed it with another one of my self-concepts I made up like in 2006. You know, why do you do it all the time? Because you got to repeat it. Repetition is very important. I talked about that a few weeks ago. Repetition is important. You got to repeat it. That's why, you know, that football players, you know, we would, when I played football, we do the same play over and over again. You know, we do the same plays over and over again so they become automatic. Because we couldn't just do it once or twice and get it down. We would have to do the same plays, run the same pattern over and over again until it become automatic. So when we got on the field and in the game, it was game time, it wasn't just a reaction. It was just second nature. So that's why, the repetitiveness, the repeating of you know, because I repeat a lot because I want you to hear it and I want you to get it. I repeat it to myself a lot because I want to hear it and I want to get it. Repetition is important because that's what changed the game. You want to create a habit. Create the habit gets you to the place where, you know, you just become an instrument of light. I mean, that feels good, man. You know, because today before I got out, I told myself, hey, you know what? Get out there and be light. I mean, this is what I said to myself, because sometimes I find myself, and I can use me as an example, that I don't want to get out because I stay, you know, I'm with myself a lot, you know. And I don't mind, I'm the type of person, I don't mind being, you know, alone by myself because I enjoy my company. My company is great company. I have fun with me. But at the same time, I have an obligation as a beacon of light, I like to call myself, to other people. Because you don't know what kind of, something just happened. Do you hear me? Oh, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. Oh, that was good. That was a computer. It wasn't about me. It was about me being who I need to be. I kicked that out. You know, be a light for people. People need to see your smile. People need to see, and feel your spirit. You know, there's somebody that you might not even know. They might need to have a conversation with you. You might need to be around that person and have a conversation with them, and you might save somebody's life, or they might give you something that you need. You know, I know this pandemic has been very stressful on all of us, you know, at some point. So it could, you know, ain't no such thing as social distancing. Ain't nothing social about being in a distance. And so human beings, we need contact. It's our nature to be in contact with one another as human beings, you know. And it pumped a lot of fear in a lot of us, and, you know, and it stopped us from being, you know, in contact with each other. And I watched how, it really changed a lot of people, a lot of things, because people were dying of coronavirus. My father-in-law, he passed away with coronavirus. I had it. And, it changed a lot of things, you know, with people, you know, in the world. You know, it was always real, you know. And people are still getting, you know, sick from it. And so there's a bit of fear still around for people when it comes to coming in close quarters and contact with one another. But what I've noticed is that even though there's still that, you know, fear in people, there are those that really do, you know, want to reach out to one another, that want somebody to reach out to them. And it, you know when it's, you know who they are, you know. And so I went out, man, and I went out with the attitude that I was going to just, you know, be open and be light, you know, and smile. It's okay to smile at someone. That don't mean you want nothing from them. Just smile. Sometimes a smile can change a whole person's countenance. You know, they might need a smile or hello, how are you? You know, it's okay. And if they don't speak back, don't worry about it. It wasn't personal. Maybe they was had a lot on their mind. But keep yourself open to be that type of person. That's being light. That's being congenial. That's being open. And you know, let it be natural. You know, I mean, you know, you don't have to be all up in people's face. And, you know, hey, I'm your, you know, just be natural. Allow yourself to be your natural, unique, genuine, you know, powerful self. And just, you know, go out there with the attitude that I'm going to be the best me that I can be today. If anybody come, you know, come in contact with me, they're going to be blessed. You know, they're going to, they're going to be glad that they met me. I'm going to be glad that I met them. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to run into somebody that's going to have some of the missing components to, you know, that I need for my vision. You know, and that's a real fact. Those things, I mean, because when I first came out, you know, especially when I came out, you know, that was my attitude. Came up and, you know, I took a step back, but not really. But it gave me time to see and really observe what it was that I needed to do to fortify, to make things better. And because this is a God thing, this is a thing that is beyond the flesh. It's beyond, you know, because the way I see it, it's bigger than I could ever be. But it's not that it cannot be accomplished, because I understand that people, you know, come from different directions and things come in different ways, and they will. Just keep your intentions pure. And don't look to the left, don't look to the right, because you're not in a race or competition with anyone. You're not competing. You know, this is the internet. This is the information age. You know, you may see people right now that are blowed up on the internet. Don't let that discourage you. You do what you do, the way you do it. Perfect that. Make that the best you can make it. Make it be the best you can be. And let that be. Everybody ain't going to like you, but there will be a lot of people that will. And they'll attach themselves to you. And when they attach themselves to you, it's going to fortify you. It increases you. And you keep the same attitude, you know, that because, you know, it's not a competition. The only thing you're competing with is yourself. That's the only thing you're competing with. And that's just breaking old habits, breaking the old habits that you know that you have that hold you back. The lack of faith, the lack of belief, the words that you say that you allow to come out your mouth. You can't just say anything that come out your mouth. Those words are going out to the universe. What are you saying about yourself? When ain't nobody else around, they can't hear you, but you heard yourself. What are you thinking about? What do you really think about yourself? Are you saying I'm stupid? That was dumb? You know? Those words, you know, those words are powerful. Don't use those words in reference to yourself. You know? Even if you make a mistake, that's just an experience that you had. That's all it was. It was a mistake. This is your movie. You shooting the movie. You're the director. You're the number one actor. You're the, you know. You call the shots. You write the script. Don't worry about other people's opinion. That's an opinion. Let them have it. Because you know what? You're focused, and you know who you are. You know exactly who you are. And so when somebody comes to you, and that's another thing, what you can't allow yourself to deal with people that don't recognize who you are. Your I am. That's real. You can't, because what it is when you let people that don't know who you are spiritually at the very level of your being, your higher self, because what it is, when they're operating in their higher self, they'll recognize your higher self because we recognize each other. And so what it is, there's a certain type of respect and honor that you have for one another that automatically sets it off. Boom. You feel like you've been knowing them all your life. They right on cue. Hey, what? Yeah, and everything is yes, and. Oh, yes, and. You know, pointing to the completion of another human being. That's what they're doing. They're both pouring into. Nobody's being depleted. It's a cup that runneth over, and it continues to fill itself up. It never gets depleted. Those are the type of relationships you want. You don't want the soul suckers and the dream killers. I did a show a few years back, Soul Suckers and Dream Killers. You know? And you can't let nobody kill your dream because that's your baby. That's like letting somebody abort your baby that you've been pregnant with. Because they can't tell you what you see in your vision because it's your vision. And it's burned and etched on the blueprint of your heart. You know, it's in your mind. It's in your spirit. So they tell you, all they can do is add on to what you already see. But you got to see it. And you got to know that's what it is. What I'm saying is, I don't deal with nobody that don't know who I am and that don't recognize who I am, and I don't recognize who they are. I'm going to recognize you from your I am standpoint. Not just a man, not just a dude, not just Adrian Rock Walker, but from your standpoint of I am. Now, whatever that is, I'll recognize it. Powerful. You know, but that's something that you do for yourself. But you'll know that I recognize you from that standpoint, from that I am, that self-concept of yours. You know, I'm an older guy, but you can teach me something too. There's a lot of things I can learn from you as an older man, from a younger man. Just because you're older don't mean you know it all. Can't learn from someone else. So you can learn from anybody that comes into your life. And you have to stay open to learning. Because wisest way you could ever be, to be wise is to know that you don't know. And keep learning and keep growing and keep expanding. But that's one of the main things that you cannot allow to happen when it comes to vision and purpose. Because if they don't recognize who you are and they in your world and you let them in your world, I don't care who they are. They could be your brother, sister, mama. If they don't recognize you, who you are at the essence of your being concept, they don't need to be in your world. They can't hang out. They can't hang out with you. That's not gonna happen. You can't kick it with me. You know, and if you still, you know, if I gotta hang around you, if for some reason I can't get away, we can't have no conversation that's gonna be, you know, of any substance because you know you're not on my level. See, you're not on my level if you don't see where I'm supposed to be seen. As myself, from my self-concept. If you don't recognize who I am, then, you know, we can't do nothing. Treat everybody with respect and honor. What do you mean? Everybody, every man, every woman with respect and honor. You know, because when you disrespect an individual, you disrespect yourself. Period. And you know when you disrespect them. You know exactly when you disrespect them because you don't want to be disrespected. Carry yourself in a manner of high esteem. You know, it's okay to play and joke or whatever, but overall, what type of character do you have? What type of, persona do you, you carry yourself in? Do you walk into the room and think you're the best thing in there? Is that the type of attitude that you have? You know, somebody say something to you, you know, and you think you ready to argue and fuss and fight or cuss somebody out because you got your guards up all the time? It takes practice. It takes consistency. You got to do it over and over again. You got to put yourself to the test and don't give yourself no days off. Don't give yourself no breaks. You know, it always and you're gonna always have to come back to know thyself. It always goes back to knowing thyself. And once you find out who you are, and that's why it's so important to know who you are, because once you find out who you are, you'll know who I am. Because if you don't know who I am, you definitely don't know who you are. But I know that you'll know who I am by the way you talk to me, by the way we interact with one another. It's with respect and honor. We chopping it up. You know, iron sharpening iron. You know, I ain't always right, you know. But there's sometimes, you know, when I am wrong. And I don't mind being wrong if I can find out, you know, if I'm corrected and I see the correction. And I want to see it because I don't want, you know, I want to learn. I'm not afraid to get it wrong. I want to learn. I want to know more about some things that I didn't know more about. That's why you got to keep those kind of people around you. You got to surround yourself with the type of people that you know that recognize who you are. I did a show a few years ago. It was, who are you when nobody else is around? Let me open up some of these mics and get some of these guys in here. All right, I see you, Enoch. I see you, 408-306. Welcome to the show.
Hey, brother.
How you doing?
I'm good, brother. How about you?
I'm good.
That's what's up.
Did you want to say something about the what we was talking about?
Yeah, sure. In the merit of what you're talking about in one of the key things that I'm hearing consistently is knowing yourself. And that is something that's very important. And having the development of yourself as a spiritually aware individual is also very important. For me, though, when it comes to addressing negativity, or not even just negativity, but things that we associate as being negative. One thing I've come to be able to do is not run away from it. For example, when you were talking about stupidity, I'm sorry. Stupidity for me is very real. It's extraordinarily real. And it's not just real. Most of us are operating from a level of stupidity. I mean, after all, if you don't know who you are at the end of the day, isn't that really like you walking around as yourself and you don't even know yourself? You know, you have to be, you're going to deal with stupidity. And the thing is that that's okay. That's okay. It's not a problem. What ends up being a problem is when we can't find a solution to it. And most of the time I come across these barriers within myself and within other people, it's due to the inability to accept that you've done something stupid.
Yeah.
And it's like, yo, if I did something stupid, I'm human. It's going to happen. But what I can't allow is for me to continue to do it and then be mad that things don't go my way. You know, so if I'm going to do something stupid, let me accept it for what it is so that I can learn, you know. For me, being able to be comfortable with my negative qualities so that I can change them to be better qualities, that has been something that I feel a lot of people can benefit from, because I don't think it's natural to look at something that you don't like and just feel good about it. You know, some of these things you maybe need to transform your way of thinking about it, but some of these things you should feel bad about them. You know, if you can't pay your bills on time, you should feel a little bit bad about it. You shouldn't make it seem like you're a bad person for it, but you should be like, yo, you know what, I'm way better than be sitting up here struggling with my light bill 6 months behind due. You know, I know I could do better than that. There's nothing wrong with that. That shows you have faith in yourself. But one thing I wouldn't want is to be doing something like that, and then my lights get turned off, and I'm wondering why everything bad happens to me. I'm like, no, I know it's because I wasn't paying attention. I know it's because I decided to buy some weed instead of paying for that bill on time. You know, it's like,
yeah.
you know it. And you make these mistakes being human because that's part of the job, at least.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I would say is that we have to learn, if we're going to learn ourselves, we have to be able to embrace both aspects, you know, trying to feel positive if you don't have something to build that on. I'm not saying it's impossible, but a lot of people are going to fail. They're going to fail at doing that because they're like, man, at the end of the day, I'm starving. You know, I don't know how to feel positive about not being able to do these types of things. But if you can look at those and you can say, well, I actually have the option to change it here. I actually have the option to change it there. Then you get to a point where not only do you limit how much you experience negativity, but you get to a point where those negative things they don't seem so negative anymore. You're like, oh, shit, I remember when I did that goofy-ass thing. Well, I know the solution. Let me fix it. Cool, I'm good. You know, instead of wondering why do bad things happen to me, or bemoaning the fact that you can't feel positive and you can't just formulate positivity out of something that you really can't anchor it on, you know. So I would say, like, when it comes to the negativity, don't be afraid of it. Let it teach you. You know, let it teach you why it's there. And if you let it teach you why it's there, you can figure out how to remove it or how to change it or do whatever you need to do so you can get on the uplifting side of things.
Yeah. I think I like that, you know, because the experience alone of whatever it is, you know, whatever happens, positive or negative, is a teachable moment for because of the experience, because of the negativity. You know, one of the things is, you know, when it comes up, you can't, you know, you gotta look at it outside in, almost, you know, like, okay, you know, because you don't want to overreact. You know, you want to try to find a way to stay calm, depending on what it is, so that you can really sort it out and think about how to, you know, solve the problem. Because, you know, the calmer you are, and, you know, when you evaluate it properly, whatever the situation is, you're able to, you know, sort it out and work it out and navigate through whatever that negativity is or was, you know. Because it's all, you know, all things do work together for good. They just do. You know, it may not seem like it, but all things, you know, if it's poison turned into medicine, you know, because it's something that will increase you with knowledge and understanding. And just keep trying. You know, don't quit. Just keep going back and trying to figure it out and find the ways, you know. And because once you get it, you got it. You know, I say, you know, I'd rather get along than be right. And I mean, what I mean by that is, you know, sometimes, you know, you can get into a situation, or I learned that, you know, I knew it, but I mean, I really got it just maybe like 3 years ago, to where it really just, maybe four, where it really just really sunk in and I really understood what that meant. Some things aren't worth arguing over. Especially if you have especially if the individual has an opinion about something that's different from yours. And if that opinion is different and you don't agree with it, you can't make a person change their mind. Because, you know, if they want to believe in what they want to believe, they're just going to believe what they want to believe. And you just, you know, especially when you're in a relationship, you know, you have to be flexible. And that doesn't mean that you give in to, you know, become a boxing, you know, a batteram. I mean, you know, somebody that, you know, just you can punk and beat up on. No, that just means that, you know, every battle ain't to be fought. You know, that's why sometimes you go forth with wisdom. You know, is it better for me to, you know, is this argument worth me having instead of literally, you know, just, okay, that's their opinion. Hey, I'm done with it. You have it. And maybe if I feel that I'm right, maybe that, you know, they'll see the light later on in life. You know, maybe they'll, you know, they'll come to a place of the realization of where I was at was the right way or whatever. But I'm not gonna, you know, you got to pick your battles. You know, sometimes, you know, it just ain't time to fight. Sometimes you just got to sit back and, you know, take a pass on it when it comes to that, especially relationships. And, you know, I like to get into that later on, you know, real soon, because, you know, I mean, the reason, one of the biggest things, I mean, and I'm talking about relationships, you know, not just men, women, you know, people that are, you know, romantically involved or want to be romantically involved. I'm talking about relationships, period. But, I mean, you know, woman is from Mars and men are from Venus, or is it men are from Mars and women from Venus? You know, I mean, there's a lot of difference in women and men. That's why, you know, Roe versus Wade, that whole thing on abortion, I think that that's a female's conversation. And I don't think men should have anything to do or say when it comes to that whole thing, because it's about the woman's body. And so I just personally feel that something like that shouldn't even be a discussion when it comes to men. But, you know, as you know, there are plenty of men that are at the helm of that whole, you know, situation, trying to, you know, make them, you know, abortions illegal, and, you know, it's, you know, not getting too far off the subject, but they're not thinking about you know, the future. You know, we're living in a world where, you know, there are people that are in power that really just don't care about people that don't have any power. They don't care about the repercussions of what can happen, you know, 20, 30 years from now. My kids, my grandkids.
Simi, can I ask you real quick?
Go ahead.
What gives you the impression that they don't care?
Well, you know, the Supreme Court, you know, they, you know, they consist of pretty much white men in power, you know. And
so
I just don't think that, you know, I think that, you know, I mean, they're going hard on certain bills, but they, you know, the gun bill, they, you know, they passing gun bills, making it easier for people to get guns, you know. But, you know, they making all kind of other changes for, with this abortion thing. And I just think that there are people in power that do not, they don't care because they're not aware of what it's really like at the grassroots level of where people that are living in, you know, humanity, you know, the common man, the poor health care, you know, if you don't have any, you know, a good job, it's hard to get good health care. You can't, you know, it's almost impossible. And so, you know, I just think that there are, you know, I know that there are people that really don't care. And so we have to understand that with all of this plethora of things that go on dealing with the stress and strife that is being created in the world today, you have to navigate on a higher frequency that will allow you to make the best decisions in the most difficult circumstances. You want to stay in the gap, in the flow. You don't want to be dissuaded or taken off course, if you will, when it comes to your desires.
Well, the reason why I asked that question is because a lot of the times when we look at these issues, we tend to take certain stances without giving that consideration to the people we criticize. For instance, like you made an assertion about the people that you see making, putting these plans into action. Are you taking into consideration the reason why they are doing these things? Because I understand your perspective and where you're coming from. You got to understand that that's just one out of thousands of perspectives in this country. And all of them have certain areas where they're flawed, and all of them have certain areas where they make sense. And I'm not a pro-government individual at all. I'm not at all. But when we're talking about these individuals and you're talking about them not knowing what it's like to come from your area, do you know what it's like to come from an area where you have to lead thousands, if not millions of people? You get what I'm saying? That comes from both areas, because even in talking about abortion as an issue, that's not just a women's issue. Why do you say that? Because women give birth.
When it comes to her body, when it comes to the body of a woman, it is a woman's issue. Because we ain't never had a period.
It is, but it's also a matter of a child coming into this world, which she couldn't do without a man.
Because, I mean, you know,
you get what I'm saying? We have to recognize that these things require a lot of thinking that many of us may not be doing right now. Okay? You know what I'm saying? Like,
when you look at that bill, when you look at that whole thing, it's not taking into consideration a lot of things when it comes to the repercussions and the residual effect that it's going to have years down the line if this thing passed. And it's really, you know, when you look at it,
we could say that about Roe versus Wade when it first came up as well, though, because I don't think that anyone expected abortion to be a normative form of birth control. You get what I'm saying? Like, and it is something that has become a normative form of birth control. Mm-hmm. And there are consequences to that. There are a lot of consequences to those particular types of things. So we have to be equal, because a lot of the time when we judge these things, we're thinking about, we have a bias in and of itself. Like, oh, the more liberal the law is, the better it is for society. That's not true.
Yeah.
That's not true.
Yeah, I don't really talk about it like that. You know what I mean? Like, because for me personally, it's about women. It's about their bodies. What about the 12-year-old that ends up getting pregnant and what does she do? Have a baby? But on the flip side, Eli. If you shoot a woman and she has a child, and she dies, that's a double murder. You know what I mean? They'll call that a double murder. But when is the child, if she's pregnant.
That's exactly what I'm saying, though.
Yeah.
That those laws don't make any sense. Like, if abortion doesn't consider an unborn child a child, then if you shoot a pregnant woman, you should not go to jail for a double murder. Because according to the abortion law, that child is not a real person. They haven't been born yet. You see what I mean? Like, these are things that you gotta think through, because there's a lot of issues when it comes to that.
Yeah, but what's gonna happen? I mean, you don't want women getting these, abortions, in somebody's garage just because they can't, because Planned Parenthood ain't just about abortion. They're about a lot of other different things, and they teach women about their bodies and about, getting checkups, pap smears and stuff like that. It's more than just abortion, Whereas women wouldn't have the opportunity to be helped in that way if they didn't exist. So, it's a touchy subject, It's a touchy subject. But, this is the world we live in.
It's touchy, but it also, I think, when it comes to these things, we have to be honest about them, because what I do find is that when we get to certain issues, especially when we deal with people in diasporas that have been marginalized to some degree, there are a lot of scenarios where there are harsh truths that exist, regardless of where you come from. It doesn't matter if you're black, it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, it doesn't matter what you are. It's just, this is the way it's got to be.
I think the abortion thing is not a black or white thing. I think it's just a woman thing.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
But again, I don't think you can ever say that about a matter of a child, of procreation. Because that's never going to be the case. Like, if it's a woman's issue, it has to be something that is only relative to women. Women do not give birth by themselves. They do not.
No, but they're the givers of the life. The sperm, but they carry the child. You need the sperm. That's right. You do need the sperm.
That's
the sperm. The sperm is important, But the giver of life, the actual giver, the birthing comes from the woman. And all the complications that go along with being giving birth.
The facilitator of that process is a woman, and that is true. But when we also look at certain things in relativity to bringing up a child, and even the process of getting a child from being conceived to being born, okay? Like if we look at the statistics in relativity to women who had no man around versus one who had a man who was supportive, we realize that those things turn out to create entirely different scenarios on a regular basis. And this is what I'm saying, like, when we talk about this just being a women's issue, you're only thinking about their body. You're not even thinking about the baby when you're talking about it.
Yeah, well.
You're not thinking about the men who have to bust their ass when they are involved in their children's lives, the things they give up to make sure that those things go down correctly. Okay? I'm sorry.
Yeah,
if we're talking about elevating our mindset, some of these things have to be reevaluated. Because I'm sorry, like if it's just a woman's issue, like for example, period. That's a woman's
issue. Well, I mean, you know, when it comes to her body, when it comes to the body, though, Enoch, you know, because if you know, if she, I mean, she's carrying the baby 9 months, or she's carrying the baby, and she risks her life when she has it. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yes, but she also made the decision to have that baby as well, or to let the scenario for that baby to come around, to come in as well. Like this isn't something like. This isn't a situation
yeah,
like nobody.
What about you know rape and incestual sex?
But
yep. You know what I'm saying?
You got to understand something though. You're talking about a scenario that doesn't even count for 10% of abortion cases in America. When you're talking about rape and incest, those are outliers. Those are not the leading causes of abortion in America.
Yeah, they read that on the morning show. Jay was reading, about the percentage of, different ethnic groups that had abortion, that was getting abortion, you know. And, black women were right up there. I didn't see it. I mean, I don't remember what it was, but it was pretty interesting. It's a very touchy subject. My personal opinion is about the woman's right to for her body, you know. And the men, I mean, where do you think that, where do the men come in? Just because he got the sperm?
Well, it's not just because we have the sperm, dude. That's the thing. Like, this is what I mean by when you're talking about evolving the mindset when it comes to these types of things. A lot of the perspective is way too narrow, dude. That perspective of, well, it's, the birth happens in the female's body, so automatically that's her jurisdiction. Well, then if that's the case, shouldn't men not be liable to things like child support? Shouldn't it be our choice to say, hey, you know what, I'm going to invest in this baby or not? Because
the decision
whether or not that child lives or dies is not mine. You get what I'm saying? Like if it's a woman's decision to dictate whether or not she keeps a baby or not keeps a baby, then why would it be a man's obligation to be responsible for something he has no say in?
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? That doesn't make any sense. Those laws don't coincide.
So what if the 13-year-old gets pregnant?
You're talking about an outlier circumstance for which a law should be written about those circumstances. But when you're talking about a 13-year-old being, if you're talking about a 13-year-old being raped, in order for that to be something that is based on a law for all women, that has to be a significant portion of the abortion rate that we have right now. But what I'm saying is the incest.
So does she have the baby? Does she have the baby?
I think I would agree that if she ended up getting raped or if it was an incest situation, she should have the option to terminate that pregnancy. I believe that she should. What I'm saying is that her circumstance should not be graded as a circumstance that's available to all women, even if they've never had a situation like that before. Oh, I got drunk and I had sex with a dude unprotected. It's like, hey, G, you got to deal with that. Like, I'm sorry. I'm like, you can't. When we're talking about outliers, those are very specific scenarios, and they're not even remotely close to the majority. So that's what I'm saying. You got to think about those types of things, and there should be laws made for those situations. But if you're not a woman in those situations, you know, I don't know that you should be sitting up here, just especially if you, let's say you decide you want to abort the baby, and then you change your mind, you want to have the baby.
Yeah.
And then now you want you want the father to start paying child support.
Guess what? We got to get out of here, buddy. I appreciate you, Brother Enoch. Enoch, glad to have you, as always. Adrian Walker, glad to have you,
man. Yes, sir.
And
thank
you for being
here.
And last but not least, the butterfly. Is she going to say what she going to say? And we out of here. Oh, and Kevin Crutcher. Thank you, Kevin Crutcher. So, hey, we're going to get out of here. Tell somebody to tell somebody to tell somebody to join me, the Vagabond and Misfit of Blog Talk Radio, on the backside of the desert, doing what we do, soul stroking every Tuesday night. Take care, peace and blessings, and always remember, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that me, USB, I truly do love you, my friends. Take care, peace and blessings. We're out.
Pacific.